Now the news. I'm Shane Bigham. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has made his way to Shanghai. He's talked to students and faculty at Tongji University and visited leading German polymer producer Covestro. Chen Tong has more.
If you take a look at the delegation Scholz is taking to China this time, it's not difficult to find the reason why Shanghai is the second stop for him here in China. Big names in the business field, such as these heads of German companies, including the chemical giant Bosch, technology company Siemens, car makers BMW, Mercedes-Benz, are accompanying the German leader to China. And almost all of these companies have set up their China headquarters in Shanghai or operate factories in the nearby cities, and they keep coming. The mature supply chain in the region and the favorable business environment are the two major factors why these German companies are coming to the Yangtze River Delta region. And of course, they are also seeking more business opportunities.
Scholz began his trip in Chongqing, where he stopped at a Sino-German joint venture that makes powertrains. He also saw the assembly of hydrogen power modules in the southwestern Chinese hub. There are over 5,000 German companies operating in China. A survey published in January by the German Chamber of Commerce shows that over 90% of those companies plan to remain in the country, with more than half eyeing expansion. Chinese Vice Foreign Minister has urged the United States to avoid confrontation and harming peace and stability in the Asia-Pacific region. Ma Jiaoxu made the comment during a meeting with U.S. Ambassador to China Robert Burns, Assistant Secretary of State Daniel Kreitenbrink, and Sarah Barron with the White House National Security Council. He also called on the U.S. to stop meddling in China's domestic affairs and slapping unreasonable sanctions against Chinese firms. Both sides agreed to continue to deliver on the San Francisco consensus reached between the two heads of state and maintain communications. China says it's closely monitoring the ongoing investigation into the recent Sydney knife attack. It's also urging Australian authorities to provide all necessary support. The fatal incident at a local shopping center last Saturday killed six people and wounded a dozen more. Two Chinese nationals are among the victims. Australian police say they have reason to believe the 40-year-old attacker had specifically targeted women. He's believed to have had mental health issues and was shot dead by the police at the scene. Government buildings across Australia have been ordered to lower their flags to half staff in mourning. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has flagged a national review of mental health policy in the wake of the attack. Meantime, another stabbing attack on Mondays injured a bishop and several others in a Sydney church. Police say none of the injuries are life-threatening. The perpetrator has been arrested. There's no suggestion the attacks are linked. Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong says he'll step down on May 15th. He made the surprise announcement on social media on Monday. According to an official statement, Lee will hand over power to Finance Minister Lawrence Wong. An election's expected to follow in the months after the transition. A Chinese envoy to the United Nations has called for restraint during a Security Council debate on Iran's attack on Israel. Dai Bing said China's concerned over the spillover effects caused by the prolonged conflict in the region.
China urges all parties involved to exercise maximum restraint and calmness, resolve differences and disputes in accordance with the UN Charter and international law, and avoid further escalation.
China emphasized the two-state solution and reiterated that the immediate priority is a ceasefire in Gaza. Kazakhstan's evacuated more than 108,000 people since flooding began in the Central Asian nation last month. The deluge, caused mainly by melting snow, has inundated many parts of the country's northern region. President Kasym Jomart Tokayev has called it the worst natural disaster to hit Kazakhstan in 80 years. Meantime, neighboring Russia says the situation is stabilizing in Orenburg, close to the Kazakh border, as the water level in the Ural rivers dropped for the first time since flooding began. But according to the state news agency, around 13,500 homes remain flooded, and over 16,400 people have evacuated the area. In sports, 48 male and 48 female paddlers are competing at the International Table Tennis Federation World Cup Macau 2024. Reigning men's and women's World Cup champions Fan Jiandong and Chen Meng from China aim to defend their titles. They're joined by the world's current top-ranked paddlers Wang Chuqin and Sun Yingsha. The World Cup runs until April 21st. And that's the news. I'm Shane Bigham.